Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We welcome in our Richmond audience for the first time on AM 910 and FM 1051. Everybody else who's been listening on the flagship 106.7 The Fan, we are taking you up to 6:30 this evening, getting you ready for Caps playoff coverage, pregame, and then puck drop here on The Fan, 6:30 into 7 o'clock for the start time. The Commanders are 2 days away from landing, hopefully, their generational QB. Don't forget to think about your next generation. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad, will help you with that. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction, help you draft your will, set up a trust, and create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com, and be sure to tell them G&D sent you. Again, score a great discount. Mention us, Grant and Danny, kmlawyers.com. We go to the BetQL guest hotline right now, and welcome onto the show former Redskins quarterback, longtime NFL QB, Colt McCoy. Colt, I was telling the guys how great your breakdowns were on these QBs and what a media star you've become over with Underdog Fantasy with all of the time you've spent evaluating this quarterback class. It's been awesome, man. Congrats.
Hey, I appreciate it. It's been fun. Underdog is an awesome company, great group of guys who love sports and specifically football, and it's been an awesome platform to be able to talk some ball and played for a long time, and that comes to an end for everybody. But just to be able to, you know, get on there with Jay and a couple other of my old teammates and talk a little bit, it's been a ton of fun.
Before we get into the quarterback class, and Washington at number two has a massive decision to make in a lot of ways, the future of the organization, kind of pivot point moving forward here. You were in Arizona with Cliff Kingsbury, and I'm just curious what you could tell us about Washington's new offensive coordinator.
I love Cliff, man. He's one of my favorites. Grinder. He loves football. He's played quarterback, right? Played at a really high level in college and a little bit in the pros. And it's fun to play for guys, you know, like him or Jay or Kevin who played the position, right? They see it differently. They have your back, and, you know, their mission and how they want the quarterback position to be played is very clear. And I think Cliff is going to have a ton of success in Washington. I'm so happy for him. I've talked to him several times, and he's going to be great.
Colt, which of the four quarterbacks, forget about what pick a team might have, which of the four quarterbacks at the top of the board would fit with what Cliff Kingsbury likes to do?
I mean, listen, like nobody knows what's going to happen, but I'd be shocked if Washington doesn't take Jaden at two. I mean, he just brings, Caleb's going one. I think Jaden just brings so much to the table. He can make plays with his feet when he needs to. You know, Cliff's offense, I played in it for a few years. I'm probably the least athletic guy that he's had. but I think just, his intangibles, his athletic ability, but he's also really accurate as a passer. I mean, you watch all his tape. I mean, he's pushing balls down the field. He's putting balls in the tight windows. I think, you watch him at Arizona State and you think, oh, man, this guy's like this is a really talented guy. Right. But then you turn on this tape at LSU and you're like, wow, he got really polished. He got really confident. He had some great receivers to throw to. But, he helped those receivers. Right. He had an understanding of his offense and, throwing on different levels, throwing off platform. I just feel like he has all the tools you know, with Cliff as his coach and, you know, the things that he brings to the table, it seems like that's a match to me.
I don't remember if you sat down with Jaden and got to go over film. I know you did like a Gruden QB camp thing that I loved with Drake May. It was one of the, when I started doing my research months ago, it was one of the first things I watched. What did you take out of that experience with him, and what's your assessment on May? Sounds like obviously you think Daniels would be a better pick for Washington.
Yeah, I think Drake is awesome, right? He's a young guy. You're just super, super raw. Again, he's a guy who played in two different systems, just like Jaden. Didn't have as much success last year, but he also lost some playmakers and had a new coach. And, you know, there was some learning curve there. But as far as ceiling goes, I mean, I think Drake has a super high ceiling. You know, reminds you of like a Josh Allen. I'm not comparing them, but it's just, you know, he's more athletic than what people give him credit for. You know, he makes plays with his feet, but he also has a big arm and is not afraid to throw, you know, aggressively. And, you know, there's a lot to really like from him and a lot to think if you're a coach, like, man, I can coach this guy up to be a really special player in the NFL.
Colt, let's go to the opposite side here. What are some things you see that probably need some cleaning up or some work in both Daniels and May?
I think just the game's different when you get to the NFL, right? You want to take your elite traits and your characteristics that you have, which they both have, and then, you know, get into a system where those can be refined. And, you know, I think for all these young quarterbacks, when you come into the league, like, just for me, you know, number one is accuracy and like just being able to consistently put the ball on the money, whether that's check downs or if that's, you know, big post versus quarters, right? You just got to consistently, you know, put that ball where it needs to be. And they certainly both can. I think, you know, when you watch anybody in college, right, you know, there's just things that pop up. It's like, man, we could clean up his feet a little bit. Like but I think those are things that can get cleaned up. You know, I think coaches are looking at just ability, talent, you know, quick release, mechanics of the throw. And then do they fit my system? Do they fit what we want to do? And, you know, I think for everybody, right, like there's a learning curve when you get to the NFL, just like, you know, guys that were open in college, you're not going to see them that open in the NFL, right? The windows are tighter. You know, ball's got to come out sooner, more in rhythm. You got to throw guys open. And, you know, that's a learning curve for everybody. But, you know, those two guys, when you watch them on tape, you know they'll be able to make that transition.
Cowboy killer Colt McCoy on Grant and Danny here on The Fan, joining us to break down this draft class. If you haven't been following any of Colt's work online leading up to this draft, breaking down the QBs, you're missing out. It's just his name at Colt McCoy on X. He's with Underdog Fantasy, among some other avenues, where he is flexing some of that knowledge he picked up over the years and helping people get smarter on these prospects. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Colt, but it seemed to me like, I know you've gone on record as saying Caleb Williams is one of the most talented guys to come out that you've seen in years and years. So I'd imagine he's in his own tier up top. I mean, do you view Daniels and May as close as a second tier? Like, is McCarthy there with them? How do you rank it after that in terms of Washington's perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think Caleb just, he just has some, you know, he's played a lot. He's played in two different places. You know, he has the, you know, I don't want to compare him to Mahomes. He's kind of his own guy, but he, you know, he can throw a lot of different arm angles, right? Sometimes, you know, when he's playing, you're like, dude, why didn't you throw the bubble? It was wide open for probably 8 or 10 yards. And then he'll reset and throw a backside dig for 30. And you're just like, man, you know, like I'd have probably thrown the bubble. But I think those are things that he'll have a learning curve too, but just sort of ability and, you know, quick release. He's made so many plays and, you know, when things break down, like he's going to find a way most times, right? Like Jay mentioned in our, you know, our couple of episodes, you know, like he's had 30 turnovers, 30 fumbles, right? That's a lot of fumbles, right? So there's things that every quarterback's going to have to clean up, including him. And I think if you're Washington, you're sitting at two and you look at the rest of the quarterbacks available, like they're all talented, right? But I think that Jaden and Drake, you know, they just have a really, really high ceiling. I mean, listen, if Jaden gets in open space, like, good luck finding a way to get him down. I mean, he's shifty, he's quick, he's athletic, but he can also he's shown the last couple of years, especially last year, that he can read concepts, he can drop back in rhythm, you know, read the defense and put the ball in the money. So, I think those two guys will be the next two quarterbacks off the board. I don't know if that's necessarily breaking news, but they're both, you know, talented. But I just don't see that Washington passes up on Jaden at two. That's just my opinion.
Colt, maybe this isn't even a necessary question because Daniels is such an electric runner, and I think May has slept on athletically. He scrambled over 40 times for first downs on third and fourth down. But I just wonder, with everybody's boards looking the way they do, like, we're all kind of searching for, whether you want to call it a dual threat, like the superstar, the athlete, the guy that stresses the defense on every play. I mean, are we at a point where, like, what you did or your teammates, Kirk now still playing in Atlanta, whatever, where, like, that style of quarterbacking, I don't want to say is disrespected, but is kind of – like, you're not hunting for the guy that just makes the right decisions in the pocket. Am I overstating that?
No, I would go back to what I said earlier, right? Like, accuracy is the most important thing. You know, like, you can say a lot, like, dual threat, athletic, you know, scares the defense. All those are good things. But you got to be able to make pre- and post-snap decisions and throw the ball accurately from the pocket, you know, with the pocket collapsing. You know, have the ability to stand in there and, you know, make big throws on third down. That's the NFL, right? That's why Kirk's still playing. So a lot of these guys, you know, who are pure passers can play for a long, long time. But, you know, the ability for guys to make some plays and it breaks down, you know, Caleb, Jaden, Drake, like, they have the ability to do that. Now, like, they can't rely on that. I call it street ball, right? Like, you can't go into a game in the NFL that matters and play street ball and win. And just, no one's ever done it. It's not been proven. But what has been proven is being accurate, making big throws on third down and in, you know, situational football that need to happen. And that's how you last in this league. I do think those guys have the ability to do that, like 100%. But they're going to have to learn that as they play more and get more experience, because the moment they start going into street ball, week two or three, and then it's all of a sudden it's week six and they're banged up, and now it's like, you know, now it's a bummer, right? So I mean, yes, you're right. I would say that, you know, when I evaluate quarterbacks, I evaluate that, like, the athletic ability, the suddenness, you know, the making plays when things break down, that's all a plus. But the main thing is being able to stand in the pocket and deliver and throw consistently on time on the money.
Colt McCoy with us here on G&D. Colt, what do you think of J.J. McCarthy? Where does he fit in? Obviously, won so much, including the Natty title this past year, but wasn't asked to do as much as maybe some of the other guys. How do you evaluate him?
Yeah, he's a hard one to evaluate, honestly. I mean, look, you know, he's thrown for the same amount of yards every year he's played. You know, they've won a bunch of games. They've had a really strong run game. He's played in a very pro-style offense. You know, I think he definitely is a great quarterback, right? I mean, won a national championship. You know, when you watch him, you see a lot of, like, above the shoulders, you know, pops out on tape, checking the runs, seeing different structure. One of the reasons why I like watching them play is because there's not, like, the look-back offense, right? You don't look back to the sideline and coach tells you what play to get to. Then you commit. Like, I see him doing things on his own, sees cover zero and checks, you know, to a different play, or, you know, checks in and out of runs. Like, I mean, it looks to me like he has the capacity to kind of handle a pretty full playbook. And so that's obviously a huge advantage. And can he make the throws? Yeah. It's just, you know, he's thrown for 3,000 yards every year. I mean, you play a lot of football, that's pretty easy to do in college. So it's been kind of tricky to evaluate, but from what I see and, you know, when you watch him play, like, he seems super smart. He seems able to handle a lot of information, like the capacity of a big playbook. Seems like he can handle that just fine. And so definitely, you know, I think that there's a place for him. And, you know, he's a wild card. I don't know where he'll go. You know, whatever happens at three is going to kind of dictate the whole rest of the draft. So it'll be interesting to see. But you know, certainly J.J. McCarthy is a solid quarterback, and you know, he's got the intangibles that everybody else has. It's just he hasn't been asked to do as much as some of these other quarterbacks have.
Colt, last one on these QBs for me. I've expected they're going to go Jaden Daniels for a little while, and it's hard not to be excited and tantalized by the skill set. The reason I'm more of a Drake May guy is, analytically speaking, some of the things over the years that I perceived to be predictors of maybe some struggles are areas where it hadn't gone very well for him, whether it's, you know, throwing to the middle of the field, pressure to sack percentage, leaving clean pockets. Those types of things worry me a little bit. But I can't watch the film and see what you see. I just don't have that acumen. I'm just curious either if you care at all about those types of numbers where over the years a lot of the guys that struggled, you know, don't end up making a smooth transition, and what your thought is on that as someone who watches the film and you see the 40 touchdown passes, you know, the 10 rushing touchdowns, just four picks, and you go, yeah, I think this will work in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Jaden's game translates into the league. There's no question about it. I mean, you can turn on a couple games, you know, from last year, and it just like, man, he kind of shows it all. But, you know, I'm with you. When I watch Drake, I think of all the quarterbacks in the NFL, like, it may take a little bit of time for him, kind of like Josh Allen, right? Like, big, kind of country strong, you know, raw, like very raw, but also, you know, very coachable. And, you know, I think it's all about when, you know, what we all don't know, right? The meetings, the top 30 visits, the coaches get them in a room, they start talking ball, and they kind of get to know them. They get to know their personality, kind of know what they're made of. They ask their coaches questions. You know, they pull in teammates of theirs. Like, they get all the intel that we really don't get. So, but when I will tell you that when I watch tape, like, Caleb and Jaden are they're elite, right? They have intangibles that, you know, aren't coachable, like speed, agility, quickness, making plays, putting the ball on the money. But for a guy that, you know, has a chance to play for a long time, is kind of built to kind of carry that and has like a really high ceiling, I'd probably say that's Drake.
Colt, I always thought you'd make a great coach. Is that an avenue you think you maybe want to go down, or are you just the media guy now?
No, I wouldn't say I'm a media guy. In fact, I wasn't. I mean, this has been fun, and it's been a cool opportunity. I've enjoyed it. I do. I mean, my dad was a coach, you know, kind of the role that I was in, sort of the second half of my career in the NFL. A lot of times, I felt like a coach. Right?
I was going to say, watching Hard Knocks when you were in the room with Cliff and Kyler, and I don't remember who else was in that QB room. You were basically like a quarterback's coach, and then you'd come off the bench and light it up and go, you know, go back to coaching them up.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to be a coach, right? I still haven't figured it out. You know, I ran into some elbow issues last year, and, you know, unfortunately, it just really hasn't kind of come back to, like, kind of how I need it to be in order to play at a high level in the NFL. And so that's been a pretty big bummer for me. But at the same time, like, you know, I've learned a bunch. You know, I think I could make a transition to being a coach. I'm just kind of figuring it out and spending some time with my family, and, you know, talking ball with Jay and some of my old teammates has been a ton of fun. Underdog's an awesome platform. We kind of created this little show called Clean Pocket, which, you know, it's kind of fun to talk about. But yeah, I mean, I think those are decisions that'll be made, you know, in the next coming months or year, and just see what happens. But I certainly have enjoyed time with my kids and my family, and, you know, played a long time and thankful for that, and just kind of praying about what's next.
Well, Colt, I know you had many moments in your career collegiately and in the pros, I'm sure, that were bigger and better than October 27th, 2014. But that game, that Monday nighter against Dallas, for a lot of reasons, comes up all the time still. I don't know if it's because it was like one of the last really good memories in terms of the actual Redskins, and now the name has changed and the whole organization's different, but 25 of 30 for three Bills, that comes up every now and then.
Hey, well, we all have one thing in common. We all hate the Cowboys. So I'm with you. That was a fun night. You know, I think, you know, playing for the Redskins, you know, I only played for the Redskins for 6 years, was there for 7 years. I mean, listen, I had some awesome coaches in my time there. You know, we obviously didn't win enough and wish we could have, and played with Kirk and Jay and Kevin and Sean and lots of great teammates. Like I have a very fond memories of playing in the nation's capital, and wish I could have played better. And you know, quite honestly, you know, this game is about staying healthy. And the moments that I had my opportunity to play, and I just, you know, I had some injuries at bad times, and you know, that really affected my career. But I you can't take those back, and you're proud of, you know, playing for such a great organization, and thankful for the time and the memories there. Two of my kids were born there. So you know, I have a special place in my heart for that. And, you know, listen, this is a production business, you know, and I think if there's anything that these young quarterbacks will learn as they come into the NFL, it's like, man, you know, all the hype, all your name is everywhere. Everybody's going to love you. But like you get into year two and year three and year four and year five, like it's about production and staying healthy. And, you know, I like all these guys, and I hope that that's the case for them.
Cole, great to catch up with you, buddy. Really appreciate the time, man. Great insight.
Okay, man. Thanks.
Former NFL QB and former Redskins quarterback Colt McCoy here on Grant and Danny. Next, Todd McShay going hard in the paint that teams don't like May as much as they like Daniels. We'll explain next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Beltway Blitz coming your way at 4 o'clock, a half hour out. We will be giving away tickets to see Old Glory DC Rugby at that time, so make sure you're listening. Benjamin Solak of The Ringer does an excellent job breaking down the NFL, super analytical, studies the film as well. We'll talk NFL draft with him tonight at 6. Does he have a preference for Washington at number 2? Is he ready to rule out J.J. McCarthy? Speaking of the draft, though, Todd McShay, who for many, many years was at ESPN as the foil to Mel Kiper. They were going head-to-head, right? McShay, no longer at ESPN, does his own thing covering the NFL draft. And he was on Barstool Sports' Pardon My Take, dropped yesterday. I listened to the interview. It was really good. And McShay, at one point, had a nugget on Daniels versus May that I thought would be interesting to our listening audience. So listen to this from Todd McShay via Pardon My Take.
I'm done with the tape. I always try to kind of rack my board, figure out who I like, and then I start making calls. I promise you, of the dozens of calls that I've made from January to now with guys in the league, general managers, personnel directors, scouts, all over the league, there isn't one person I've spoken to that believes that Drake May should be drafted number 2 over Jaden Daniels.
Ooh.
I even talked to teams going back to February, where teams were like, yeah, we're still debating between Caleb and Jaden at number 1. Okay. So it was like that first tier has been for teams has always been kind of Caleb and Jaden. And then the second tier is Drake.
That's Todd McShay. But the money quote there, if you will, is that he says he's talked to dozens of high ranking officials with teams, and not one person he spoke to tells him that Drake May should be taken over Jaden Daniels. Which I don't believe.
I just can't believe that.
He's saying it. I don't think he's lying. Maybe it's just an unlucky sample for Drake May.
Right.
I'm not really sure. But I guess the realization I've come to is I'm out on a limb on this one, I guess. I just see it, and I'm not pretending to be smarter. I don't pretend to have watched 1,000 hours of all 22 film. I watch the games that are available to me online. I talk to people. Maybe that shapes my opinion some too. But I'm just going to, rather than parroting what everybody's saying and just going with the flow, mm-hmm. I'm going to stick to my guns a little bit and say, when I watch these two, I love Jaden Daniels' game like everybody else. You input some of the numbers and the analytics and the trouble areas into this thing, and you build a full package. My preference of May, as we get closer and closer to the draft, is seeming crazier and crazier. But how is it possible that it's that lopsided, according to McShay, that nobody sees May over Daniels? I just have a hard time believing that.
I do too. And again, that then you're going, okay, then what are you suggesting? Talking to, rhetorically speaking to me. Are you suggesting that McShay is lying? Are you suggesting that every GM is lying to him? I don't know what I'm suggesting. I'm with you. I have the same reaction where I go, I just can't totally believe that. Especially because for people that we have on that are really good at this, they don't work for teams necessarily, but they, you know, turn in some great reports and have great thoughts and see things in a way that, you know, the regular rank and file fan or human being can't see. They're split, right? PFF loves Drake May, doesn't like Jaden Daniels, for example. A couple of those guys have it that way. Someone else will come on and say, it's Daniels for me by a mile. The point is that it's more split than a unanimous sampling of front office personnel tells you that it's Daniels over May, and it's not even close. Even in a draft where there's a prohibitive number one, Andrew Luck was the prohibitive number one. Everyone knew it was Andrew Luck. There were legitimate debates among some. Hey, I actually prefer Griffin. Here's why. Now, in retrospect, we know, but that's not important. At the time, you know, I wouldn't take Cam Newton number one, said a couple of anonymous scouts or otherwise. There's always a dissenting opinion.
Yeah, if he wanted
there's
to say
none.
The majority of people are telling me they like Daniels over May. That makes sense.
I got that.
The guy that won the Heisman in the SEC that had 50 combined touchdowns and four picks? Sure. Nobody. Nobody liked the big 6 foot, 4.5 inch.
Not one guy.
235 pound QB that scrambled for 40 plus first downs on third and fourth down, who had 70 plus big time throws the last 2 years when no one else had 55. Nobody liked that guy?
Not one.
Okay, if you say so.
So this to me, again, just I hate doing what I'm about to do, but this is the only explanation I can come up with is there's an agenda there. There's a reason, right? So who knows if he's asking the Patriots or the Giants or somebody that might be have the steamies for Drake May and is praying somehow they end up with him. But that's my explanation, is that there's some kind of agenda item. Right, so think about it in a different situation. Let's say Washington didn't need a quarterback, which would be the first time in decades. But let's say they didn't. And, you know, they were picking at number 5 where the Chargers are. Let's say you're the Chargers, in fact. You're going, I don't care at all what quarterback goes in front of me. I'm either looking to trade back or I'm praying that that Harrison Jr. ends up in my lap at number 5. So maybe you start planting the I'm not really sure about Harrison. You flush that down the pipe and let a couple of guys run with it and hope that he somehow falls to you. Very reasonable, you know, explanation for how we got there. It's just impossible for me to get my head around the idea that not one person in the ultimate speculative eye of the beholder situation, the college quarterback, not one person preferred one guy over the other. You'll find someone that prefers Penix to the three guys that we might take at number 2. You'll find someone that thinks Bo Nix can do it. Maybe you won't. But you know what I mean? Like, there's always somebody that likes the other guy better. Not one, Grant. Not one.
It feels to me like Bo Nix ends up going in round 2.
Me too.
But I think there's a path to him being drafted in the first round. Bo Nix is the athletic, former Auburn QB.
Kind of the Lamar Jackson plan. Someone trades in once the fifth year in case.
He went to Oregon and put up big numbers with a decent supporting cast. Has played a lot of college football. But yeah, the path is not only the added value you get from the fifth year, to your point on Lamar, when the Ravens traded up to 32. So the difference being, to explain that, if you're drafted at 33 overall, at the end of your fourth year, there's no way to tack on years, right? You get a fifth-year option only for first-round talents. So if you take Bo Nix 32nd, then you get a fifth year, even with a raise, still a discount over a second contract quarterback if he's your starter and he's really good. Whereas one pick later in the second round, he's on to the second contract, making his you know, by then, who knows, $40 million AAV starting at that point if he's good and if he's your long-term answer. So you save yourself some money, you give yourself more time. Really, you buy yourself time to make the decision. Mm-hmm. But here's what I think he should be rooting for. The earlier McCarthy goes,
yep,
the earlier Penix is going to go.
Yep.
And if Penix is off the board, and we have had, that would be five quarterbacks, yeah? Because we're talking about...
In the first 13 picks, at least.
Yeah. So
if nobody moves, yeah.
1-1 Williams, then 1-2 Daniels, then 1-3 potentially May, then McCarthy goes wherever, let's say 4, 5, 6, somewhere in that mix. Now Penix is gone before 13. Are we to believe that no other team from 14 through 32 is either going to prepare for life after their veteran that maybe they don't love, or that no other team, even if they don't have a pick, is going to come up into the first round at some point to draft, I'm just making this up, but like Derek Carr's replacement in New Orleans.
Yeah, they're at 14.
Where you stash him for a year.
Stafford's replacement with the Rams, as he's always hurt and old.
To me, those types of teams, mm-hmm, that's where the interest is. I actually liked Bo Nix in Denver, but I don't know that you take him after you just traded for Zach Wilson. Not to say that the Wilson deal was an end-all, be-all, but I think you have less urgency to do that because now you've got a guy to kick the tires on this season that you can view as a little bit of a project who's still a prospect.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to bet right now, like some of the books where I like to play FanDuel, I think last time I looked, they had both Penix and Nix at different values at 32.5 in terms of the selection over-under. And so you're betting at that point, is this guy going in round one or round two? Like, to me, Penix, it's almost a lock he goes in the first round. Nix, I would still say, goes in the second. But there's certainly a path. If it's pick 20 and Michael Penix hasn't gone, well, Bo Nix is screwed. But if Michael Penix, mm-hmm, comes off the board and now it's pick 14 and five QBs have gone, I would actually, at that point, feel like, yeah, you're going to get Bo Nix probably chosen before round two.
I think that's a smart way to think about
they
it.
They all benefit. Like, Michael Pratt from Tulane, all those guys move up.
Rattler moves up. Yeah, it's a... It's interesting because, I mean, once you get past the, I'm trying to think of a way to say this, it's not worth it to us just to take a guy tier, then you don't know. Then you're in free fall, right? Then it's, you know, what happened to Malik Willis or what happened to, you could sort of pick your guy over the years that's, we thought of him as a, maybe a day one, maybe a day two pick, and then it's like someone might take a flyer. I mean, Sam Howell's a great example of that, right? Where people thought maybe at one point he would have been a first rounder, but now he's like a second round grade. But it's not really, we don't really see him as our franchise guy, so it's not really worth it to us. Because in the second and third rounds, you're drafting starters, presumably. Maybe not alphas, maybe not stars, but guys that can contribute for you. So then you get the fourth, fifth round type flyer guy.
Sam Howell. Feels like so long ago.
Remember Sam Howell, you guys?
That he got traded.
Remember that?
I mean, he was just the guy here. We talked about him every day for a couple of years, and now I don't think we've mentioned his name, and it just, life comes at you fast.
The Howlers.
They're still out there somewhere.
Are they?
I believe. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Double play comes your way next. Netflix is doing something I'm really excited about. That's my double play. What do you got?
I actually have a Netflix thing, too. That's weird.
Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai.
There's joy in every journey.
Top of the hour, your Beltway Blitz. We're giving away those tickets to Old Glory DC Rugby as well. Welcome back to G&D on the Fan. On the Blitz today, we'll cover the Capitals playing Game 2 of their Stanley Cup Final First Round playoff series against the New York Rangers. And got to talk about the Nats, who have won 8 of 13. They've also claimed series victories in 3 of their last 4 series. It's not like they're playing slappies either. Astros, Dodgers, San Francisco Giants on the road, cross country. They have been playing very well. But it is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal. And the rugged and capable Honda pilot, contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Danny, Netflix is getting into the roast game. They will be roasting Tom Brady.
I love it.
Kevin Hart is going to MC the event. They won't say other than that who's going to take part in it. They're going to have special guests. I think it's a Yaroslav Halak that Peyton Manning will be involved, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I would imagine they'll reach out to whether they get success on the return RSVP or not from like Bill Belichick. I'm not really sure, but they're going to swing for the fences, presumably. I don't think this is going to be live. I think they're recording this, and then we're going to see it. It's not like one of those stand-ups that happen, you know, in real time. But Netflix will air the Netflix to air the roast of Tom Brady, Kevin Hart emceeing Sunday, May 5th, 8 Eastern. The event will feature an all-star lineup of surprise roasters and will be the first ever live, well, I guess it is live, live roast to air unedited and uncensored on television or streaming. Do you think it's taped live, or do you think it's like
really live?
Legitimately happening as we're seeing.
So my guess is that it's actually legitimately live. So I think Netflix is doing a couple of these things.
They're trying. Remember the Chris Rock one in Baltimore?
Exactly. To start to do, they want to be in live content also. So they've been, and this is actually what I was going to do for my double play. I didn't know this was on your radar. But they basically, I think, are dipping their toe into live programming to be able to then ultimately try to do sports. This is my conspiracy theory.
Well, I mean, they're on record as saying, I think, that they want to do sports and that that's why they're dipping their toe in.
Maybe less of a conspiracy theory then, but maybe more this. I think this is legit the strategy where they're going to do lower stakes. Still important to pull off a good live broadcast. Good live broadcasts are good live broadcasts. But to give you that the multi-cameras, the live direction, because they churn out content like it's no one's business.
This is Netflix the trailer. Does. We'll see if it translates to radio here for Netflix's roast of Brady.
The man. The arena. The roast of Tom Brady live on Netflix. No helmets, no mercy, no Brady rule.
No f***ing problem.
The greatest roast of all time, Tom Brady live.
Now, I don't qualify. I could come up with some good jokes for this, though, if you needed me to. Some of the lucky occurrences over the years might come up in my spiel. But this should be great, and I think Tom Brady is a perfect person to do this with because he's just – it's been a great life, man. I mean, it's not a whole lot you can say about Tom Brady.
Yeah, the billionaire in charge of a number of brands, the most accomplished quarterback ever to walk the planet.
One of the greatest athletes of all time. You know, was married to Giselle for many, many years, one of the great supermodels, most successful supermodels on planet Earth. I believe before that he was married to Bridget Moynihan or whatever. Like, the guy's had a pretty decent life.
He's done just fine. Yeah, so that's a good one. I like that better, frankly, than sort of aging star. Like, I like it better than the roast of Charlie Sheen. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of very worthy target that's got a good enough sense of humor about himself, I think is perfect. I love a good roast. It's my favorite.
Same.
Yeah.
They're a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You did a little roasting.
Oh, yeah, I did.
As a matter of fact.
So I was driving around this morning in the AM, and the Junks brought this up, and I hadn't heard about it, and so I was listening to them, as I often do when I'm in the car, between the hours of 6 and 10 a.m. And they brought it up, and then EB was basically saying, like, yeah, I don't know about roast. I'm not really sure. And all the Junks quickly brought up, you know, you got roasted pretty good. The man goes, yeah, I wasn't there. What did Danny roast me about? Like, he was just so exhausted by the whole thing. And, like, nobody remembered the specifics of the jokes, but I did. I think it went okay. I don't think harbor too much ill will about it, at least as far as I know. I haven't been confronted about anything, so I think it went fine.
Yeah, it was a massive success, I would say.
Thank you.
has anyone taken any issue at all? When you say they haven't harbored ill will, like, did anyone at any point say, hey, do you really think that about me? Or like,
so
anything
I have
like that?
Not gotten any of that. Now, here's the thing. I don't know, like, if I was sensitive about it, I'd be happy to, by the way. Like, you know, to me, it's really, really funny and really good. It's the best way to kind of keep everybody humble and have a sense of humor about yourself. Like, I'd love it. I think we should do more of it. But if I was on the butt end of a joke, which I am plenty around these parts and everywhere in my life, quite frankly, I don't know how I would handle it, but I don't know that I'd walk up to the person and be like, hey, person that said that thing about me, what's the deal with that? You might find out through some intermediaries that they weren't thrilled about some of those comments. I mean, like, to give an idea, like, Kevin Sheehan referenced some of the roast bits, like, when we were on stage a little bit later and was, like, making fun of himself doing it, you know? Like, it was to that level, which I think speaks well to the guys here.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. Top of the hour, our Beltway Blitz will be covering the Nationals with Kevin Franzen, the Capitals with Ben Raby of the Caps Radio Network, and the Commanders 2 days ahead of the NFL Draft with Michael Phillips, all crammed in the next segment. Plus, right at the start of the seg, we're going to give away Old Glory DC rugby tickets. You better be listening to The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.